Welcome to A Walk Within. I'm Anoop. As promised in the last episode, Sense of Belonging, this bonus episode is the continuation of the story, The Adamant Door, from the Starlight Wonder book by Henry Beston. This is a highly edited version of the story. The link to the original is available in the show notes. I highly recommend you to read the original. Let's continue with the recap once we are back. How splendid it must be to be a soldier. With this lad, whose name was Jocelyn, Hugh presently became the best of friends. War was at hand. The young comrades marched into battle side by side. The boy Hugh became separated from his comrades but fled away from the battle through the dark. The battle was lost. Suddenly, beheld a number of prisoners marching by forlorn, and Jocelyn walked among them bareheaded. He fled from the hut in the dead of the night and made escape across the moor and fled to a village lying at the foot of a hill crowned with a ruined tower. One noontide, as Hugh rested with the fellow laborers in the greenwood shade, he asked them of the ruined castle on the hill.
Yon castle was built centuries ago by an old knight who was known throughout the land as a magician. A treasure lies hid within, but none dare seek it, for those who do
never come back.
Once there was a brave adventurer who went to seek the treasure. We watched him climb the hill, we saw him enter the castle, and all at once we heard
a terrible yell.
And he never come back.
Bless us, and what do you suppose it is that guards the treasure?
Well, if you ask me, I'll tell you, it's a Trigorgon.
A Trigorgon? And pray, sir, what is a Trigorgon?
A Trigorgon is a creature that has only three legs. It's triangular and flattish, the one leg being at the front under the long neck, the two legs riding behind. Short, thick, elephant-like legs, body like a turtle, double rows of teeth, violent disposition. I've read of it in a book.
Bother your book. The Trigorgon you describe, my good sir, is quite impossible. A Trigorgon has its two legs in front and one leg behind. A neck has got to have shoulders to rest on, hasn't it? You see, young man, Trigorgon uses its one hind leg to push itself ahead at a frightful speed. I know, because the seventh son of a seventh son's great-grandmother told me.
Bother your seventh son's great-grandmother. Now my book had large prints and most wonderful pictures.
Psst.
Tush for you and your seventh son of a seventh son's great-grandmother.
My friends, why quarrel over this absurd Trigorgon? You're both wrong. The castle is haunted by a tithe. A terribly dangerous tithe. All over the land they say it's a tithe.
Who say?
They say.
Bother they and all they say. It's a Trigorgon.
It's a tithe.
A treasure, said Hugh to himself. If I could but find it, I would ransom Jocelyn and the comrades. And with an uneasy heart, he thought of the Trigorgon, the tithe, the winged bogus, the snarling whisker roarer, the mist offend, the vrish. How terrible it would be to meet creatures so awful that no human being had dared to see them. But Jocelyn and the comrades, whom he had failed in their hours of peril on the moor, what of them? They were prisoners in the land of the foe. With the treasure of the castle, he could ransom them. Was he to fail them again? All at once, the runaway young soldier threw back his shoulders bravely and lifted his eyes to the sky. He would seek the treasure on the morrow's morn. The sun was shining brightly. A cold dew was still glistening on the leaves, and the villagers had gathered by the public well to speed Hugh on his way. Shaking their heads doubtfully and mournfully, they watched him go swinging down the road and disappear in the trees upon the hill. Now Hugh had carried an ancient lantern with him and arrived at the great gates of the ruin and forced his way through the thorn tree by the portal into the roofless square of the walls. In the heart of the wooded court, a broad flight of steps overgrown with moss and shrubs of shallow roots led down into a darkness far below. Grasping his cudgel firmly, Hugh descended the woodsy stairs. The sunlight disappeared behind. Suddenly, the runaway soldier found himself facing a giant pointed door of the blackest adamant. Over the arch of it, in letters of ancient form, was carved a legend saying, "He who would share the treasure must conquer a mighty foe within." Behind the door, something was roaring and roaring. "'Tis surely the Trigorgon," thought Hugh, his heart pounding at his ribs. Summoning up all his courage, the runaway soldier threw back the adamant door. The instant he did so, the roaring rose to a howling shriek, and a gust of storm wind, magically imprisoned in the caves of the hill, went whistling out of the adamant door and up the tunnel of the stairway to the sun. And now Hugh bravely set foot into the darkness, and holding his twinkling light at arm's length ahead, advanced to meet the mighty foe within. Through great halls he fared, and heard noises which he took to be the steps of the Trigorgon, but were only the echoes of his own steps tapping in the dark. Through long tunnels he trod. Hugh began to hear tinkling, clinking, ringing sound, unbroken in its flow as the trilling of a stream. A moment later, the youth opened a second pointed door and stood in a lighted chamber, staring at a fountain of money. Hugh, pausing to look at the pieces of gold, saw that they were of ancient years and sealed with the seal of old forgotten kings. Now it came to pass that when Hugh had filled his pockets and his hat with gold, he discovered a third adamant door leading from the chamber, and passing through it, found himself blinking in the sunlight of the further side of the hill. Strange to say, in the wall of stone behind him, there was never a sign or appearance of a door. But the mighty foe within, what could it be? He had seen nothing of the Trigorgon, the Tithe, the Winged Bogus, the Whisker Roarer, the Mistophant, or the Vrish. Yet the inscription had said that he must conquer a foe. Suddenly, Hugh threw his hand into the air with a great merry shout. He had found the key to the mystery. It was all a wise jest of the old knight. The foe to be conquered was fear, and the mighty foe within meant the host of silly fears which run and hide in the house of one's heart. The treasure had been guarded against men by their own fears. And as for the monsters, they had never existed, for they were not creatures, but silly, thoughtless imaginings and fears. And now Hugh, with his pocket laden with gold, walked over the hills to the enemy's land and ransomed his comrade Jocelyn and the dear friends with whom he had marched to the battle on the moor. Presently, a just and mighty emperor compelled both kingdoms to make peace, and Hugh and Jocelyn shared the treasure together, and their farms lay side by side. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed the story. We'll meet again in the next episode.